two readings this morning. The first is from Psalm 8. It's a psalm of praise to God for all of God's wonderful gifts and for God's handiwork. And we see that in the heavens above. And then I'll read a poem by Mary Oliver. Maybe it's a name that you're not familiar with, but she was an American poet, died about 8 years ago. She was the most read and published poet of our generation. She loved nature, and she invited her readers in her poetry and into the wonder of God's great world. And so from Psalm 8, we hear.
This morning's reading is from Psalm 8. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them, human beings that you care for them? You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You have made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds and the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky and the fish in the sea, all that swim the paths of the sea. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. This is a reading of God's word.
Amen. Thanks be to God. And then Mary Oliver, on a summer day. Who made the world? Who made the swan and the black bear? Who made the grasshopper? This grasshopper, I mean. The one who has flung herself out of the grass, the one who is eating sugar out of my hand, who is moving her jaws back and forth instead of up and down, who is gazing around with her enormous, complicated eyes. Now she lifts her pale forearms and thoroughly washes her face. Now she snaps her wings and open and floats away. I don't know what prayer is. I do know how to pay attention, how to fall down into the grass, how to kneel down in the grass, how to be idle and blessed, how to stroll through the fields, which is what I have been doing all day. Tell me, what else should I have done? Doesn't everything die at last and too soon? Tell me, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? Let us pray. Oh God, we claim our one wild and precious life and lift it in prayer to you, that on this Sabbath Lord's Day, as we have come to worship you, we might truly hear your voice and know your presence and be amazed. Amen. number of years ago, I attended a conference and sat down in my chair and looked at the program, and the speaker was an old friend of mine from seminary days. And I enjoyed his talk. And after he was finished, I followed him out into the hallway. Actually, it was to the men's room, but I followed out into the hallway. And when I got his attention, I said to him, and he did not recognize me. It's been over three decades, and I was way out of context. I don't know. Do I look older than I did? Okay. 45 years ago. But anyway, he didn't recognize me. And I looked at him, and I said, "You're from North Carolina, aren't you?" He looked at me and said, "Who are you?" I said, "You went to Wake Forest College as an undergrad, didn't you?" He looked at me and he said, "Who are you?" I said, "You were a Baptist when you went to Wake, but you met a Methodist minister, became friends with him, and you became a Methodist." And he was getting really almost upset. He said, "Who are you?" And then I said, "And then you entered Duke Divinity School in the fall of 1964. And by this time, he was about ready to come undone. "Who are you?" He didn't know what I knew about him. He was maybe nervous that I knew things that he didn't want to hear. I don't know. But it was so much fun to do this to an old, precious friend that I hadn't seen in so long a time. That's our question today. It's the question that comes to us almost out of every chapter of the Bible. Who are you? It's the ultimate question. The world will answer for us if we would allow it to do so. The world has many ways to define us and wants to define us in so many different ways. The world might say to us, and often it will to some, "Why, you're an animal. That's all. Just an animal with a large brain, but still, you are an animal. And we live in this jungle, and it's survival, and it's the survival of the fittest, and you have to be strong because everything will be against you. And to survive in this jungle, you've got to be full of strength." That's one answer. Who are you? You're an animal. The world will say to us, "You're a consumer. Life is meaning when you have stuff and when you have more material things, and you've got to have more this year than last year, because you've got to have it. You've got to have the newer, shinier version of what last year, or if you don't have, you're nothing. You're a nobody." I played golf last year with an old friend who he told me that he had a new set of golf clubs. And he said, "I paid $5,000 for this set of golf clubs." And I looked at my golf clubs, and they're 40 years old, and they were secondhand when I bought them. And it just destroyed my game of golf. I couldn't make a putt thinking, if I just had a $5,000 set of golf clubs, how good I would be. We've got to have more, better, richer, finer, shinier than we had before. We just don't count. The world might say to us, we're just a machine with now replaceable parts. And so you've got to keep the machine going. If you don't feel younger, maybe you can look younger. You can get a facelift. You're a machine. Make it look good if it doesn't feel good. I hear now that some men getting older are getting blood transfusions from younger men. I guess the idea is if you got young blood in you, you're going to feel young. You're going to, and being young and being beautiful, looking good, that machine is meant to shine. Oh, the world will define us, tell us what we need. If we don't know who we are, there are many, many false prophets, false messiahs, false teachings. And every one of them will restrict us. Every one of them will distort us. Who are you? You need to know. I need to know. Eugene Peterson was a Presbyterian pastor, became a teacher and fabulous writer. He is read by just thousands and thousands of people. This wisdom and his ability to write in the Christian faith. And in one of his books, I came across a line of his that I just really love. He said that life without God is a prison. And then he said, it's a joy-killing, neurosis-producing, disease-fomenting prison. I just like that because it's, to me, it just says what is so important to know, that to be free, to know who we are, is to be placed in the center of God's word and presence and purpose. Eugene Peterson goes on to say that what we need, and this is so appropriate, I think, as America comes close now to this celebration of 250 years. He says, what America needs is not another politics, not another movement, not another consciousness raising, not another program, not another politics. He goes on and he lists all of these things. What America needs is none of that. And then he says, what America needs is a people who gather to worship and who offer their lives in prayer. What a revolutionary thing. How preposterous this sounds. That among all of the things that we might need as a nation, what we need in our world, what we need in our country, what we need in our lives, is a church. So preposterous to think that that would be America's greatest, highest need. For people who come together to worship and to offer themselves in prayer. Psalm 8 is a psalm of definition. It's a psalm that helps us to answer the question, who are you? It's a short psalm. It's only 9 verses. We read it this morning. And it begins as it ends. The exact same words, the first verse and the last verse. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name. That's a definition verse. If you want to know who you are, you don't go to your feelings. I'm not trying to say that feelings are not important. They are important. And if a person is not connected to their feelings, if they're disconnected to how they feel, that can cause a lot of problems. We need to know what we feel. We need to be in touch with our feelings. But our feelings are liars. Our feelings may lead us astray. Our feelings may be off the wall. Our feelings are important, but our feelings do not make us a definition. In one of the Psalms, Psalm 22, the psalmist says, I am a worm and not a man. Have you ever felt like a worm? Well, of course you have. Maybe you feel like a worm every morning when you wake up, but that's not who you are. That's the feeling that the psalmist expresses. It's not a definition that God gives. And so beyond our feelings, if you want to know who you are, you don't go to your feelings first. You start with God. You wake up in the morning, and the first thing that you might say, oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. That is a definition verse. It tells us who God is, and that's how you need to start your day, not with how you feel, but what God is, who God is, how good God is. In the Black church, they have this call and refrain thing, this call and answer thing all the time, you know. And one of the things they often say in the Black church is, God is good. And the answer will come back all the time. And then someone will say, all the time, and the answer will be, God is good. That's the kind of thing that's going on here in the eighth psalm. It's telling us who we are. It's how you start a prayer. It's how you start a day. It's how you end a prayer. It's how you end the day. You want to know who you are. Start with what God says. Start with praising God. Oh God, oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic. Isn't that a great way to start the day? It gets you outside of how you might feel that particular morning. Feelings can make us crazy. Feelings can make us wild. And so we start with what God has said, who God is. How magnificent, how majestic God is. We start with God, and then we begin to know who we are. We are the people who praise God. We are God's people in praise and worship. There was a time when the word majestic, and that's how the NIV uses that word here, majestic. There was a time when majestic only referred to God. Majestic. And one of the kings in England decided he wanted to be called majestic. And so he made all of the people say, Your Majesty. I hope I never meet a king, because I'm not going to say, Your Majesty. Only God gets Your Majesty. Only God is majestic. If I ever meet a king or a queen, you know what I'm going to say? Hi, brother. Hi, brother. Oh, Lord, our Lord, how majestic is Your name, and only Your name in all the earth. And then the psalmist, he looks up and he sees what God has done. the works of God's fingers, he says. God's fingers have been at work. And look what God has done. Audrey and I were on a trip one time. We were coming back from somewhere, Texas, I think, and we were headed for Kansas City. And we stopped in the middle of Arkansas. It was near the Buffalo River. I remember that. And I had made reservations for us to stay in a log cabin. And the log cabin was in the middle of nothing except forest, rivers. There wasn't a city or a town or a light, and there was no pollution because we were all far away from all that stuff. And we stopped at the log cabin, and we got our things in, and there was a fireplace, and it was a cold night. And being the hero, I said, "Oh, I'll go get some firewood out in the behind the log cabin." And I went and I started gathering up some firewood for the fireplace, and I looked up. And I think I saw the same sky that the psalmist saw. Oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. It was the Milky Way. That's what we call our galaxy, you see. Our galaxy is called the Milky Way, and up there are 100 billion stars. Just in one galaxy. And these astronomers, they keep looking in these new telescopes, and they keep finding new galaxies. And they thought the universe was so big, and now they're looking into these telescopes, and they're saying, oh my gosh, it's so much bigger. It's so much faster. It's so much more than we ever knew before. All of these galaxies, every one of them having 100 billion suns shining down. And every one of those suns, every one of those stars is praising God. Trillions of galaxies, billions and billions and billions of suns and stars. And God made each one of them with his own fingers and set them into the sky so that when we look up into our Milky Way, we know that we are joined with each one of them. Who are you? We are the ones who join with all creation in praising God. Who are you? One who praises. One who sings to God's glory. That's how you know who you are, because you're joined and connected with all of that beauty, all of that wonder, all of that miracle in the skies. And when the psalmist did that, then he had the thought, maybe you've had it too when you've looked up into the sky. He said, well, what am I? What are we? Are we just a speck? And then he gives the answer. Oh, more than that. More than that. Your life, your little life, your small little life, in the midst of all of that vastness, God says that you are made a little lower, just a breath. A little lower than the angels. You are magnificent. You are amazing. Oh, I know we messed that up. We mess it up all the time. But that doesn't change the fact, the truth, that you're essential you. The you that's in the bottom of all of that. The you that God made that's eternal. The you that is you is made just a breath, just a moment lower than the angels in heaven. You're magnificent. You're marvelous. You're wonderful. You're like a star in the sky. And then the writer says, not only that, then you're crowned with glory and honor. Isn't that something? Isn't that almost preposterous? Isn't that the best news that you've ever heard? That you are made by God a little lower than the angels, and God has made you crowned with glory and honor is upon your life, and nothing you can do can change that, because that's how God made you. A little lower than the angels. And that then tells us what our vocation is. If that's who we are, then it tells us why we're here. Who are you? You're made a little lower than an angel. You're crowned with glory and honor. And you are meant to be in touch with every other person at that level, at that depth, at that moment and place of glory. I have a friend who I see every Friday morning on Zoom. It was out of Oakmont Presbyterian Church, where we were members for a while. That's a men's group. We sometimes meet at a restaurant, but most Friday mornings at 7 o'clock, we meet by Zoom. There are about 8 of us. We don't have an agenda. Sometimes we read a book. Sometimes we talk. We promise that we won't share what we say with our wives or friends or somebody, because sometimes we share things. And Sam wanted to talk to me one-on-one, so he called me during the week, and he wanted to tell me a story. What is it, Sam? We said, you know, my wife and I, every Saturday, we go to this pub place, and we sit at the bar, and we have lunch, and we watch whatever game is on television set. And there's another couple that comes almost every Saturday, and they sit at one of the tables not far from us. And he kind of described them. He said, you know, I didn't like them. They were pushy, and they would take somebody else's chair if they, whatever, and the way they talked and just their presence. I didn't like them very much. And he said they stopped coming, and a couple months later, the wife, the woman, shows up without her husband. And he said to the person who was the head waiter, he said, what's happened over here to this couple? And the waiter said, well, her husband died 2 months ago. And he said, in that moment, everything changed. Every feeling I had changed. And he got up from his chair. He went over to the table, and he said to her, can we talk? Sam wanted to tell me that story, I guess because he thought maybe I'd tell it to you. He saw what he was not able to see before. He saw not a pushy, selfish, loud, cantankerous person, but he saw someone in deep loss and pain. Who are you? You're people with new eyes because you're created just a little lower than angels, crowned with honor and glory. Who are you? Your person has the ability to see beneath and beyond all of the exterior things that make people cantankerous and mean and ornery, and see in them their need, their pain. Who are you? You're God's ambassador, crowned with honor and glory. You're sent into the world. You are sent into the world to heal and touch and bless and remember and love and forgive. All of these things, because who are you? You're special, not because of you, but because what God has done in making you who you really are. And I call us then on this Lord's Day, be who you really are. Amen. Let us pray. Oh God, you've given us one amazing life. Help us to live it faithfully, deeply, and richly in your love and care. Amen.